You guys had your showcase the day before, and I want to ask you, you have so much wonderful stuff you're showing off here, but I want to ask you something that's not here, and that's The Last of Us, which totally, almost literally for a few seconds, took people's breath away, because I heard a bit of gasping as it was being shown. Crazy, intense thrill ride, not here on display, but what can you tell us?
Yeah, it's for anyone that's out there that's listening that hasn't seen the E3 video or demonstration, I implore you to go check it out immediately. We're really proud of this product. I mean, you can't say enough great things about Naughty Dog. They've done a tremendous job on the Uncharted franchise. And 1, 2, and 3 were my favorite games, I think, of the years that they were released. And I pride Naughty Dog for like being able to do great action sequences, but then also, you know, the world's best VO, some of the greatest story elements and writing that you'll find in a game. And I think that's really what the goal is with Last of Us as well. Is it's probably going to be their first M-rated game. It hasn't been rated yet, but as you can see, certainly from the demonstration, it's a little darker and certainly a little bit more violent than the Uncharted games. And I think it's given that freedom to really go out there and go after an older audience. I'm amazed to see what they're going to do. But even just from watching the video yesterday, you can get a sense of, you know, the tension and the drama in the game, and just how just controlling these two characters is going to be so much fun.
And you were telling us a bit about the AI and how it's sort of the likes of what we haven't seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I take a look at kind of, that demonstration that we saw at the conference yesterday as a great example. I mean, you're seeing enemies that are legitimately, they're on the fly reacting to your character. So what weapon you have, if you run out of ammunition, where you are in a room in some kind of space, they're flanking you, they're trying to surprise you wherever they can. I mean, the main character got the butt end of a shotgun in the face, you know. So it's that kind of experience where, you know, it doesn't seem very formulaic. They're not waiting for a certain, set of rules in order to attack you. Everything's on the fly, and everything is completely different every time you play it.
And of course, we really want to know about Beyond. What can you tell us about that?
Another great one that we showed yesterday, and both these games are 2013, so we got a lot of great stuff kind of far off on the horizon. But Beyond is a project that Quantic Dream has been working on for the last year or so. They're lucky enough to get Ellen Page as the main character, Jody, and she's doing all the voice work, she's doing all the motion capture work. Obviously, you take a look at the main character, it has been completely done in her likeness. But it's, if you loved Heavy Rain in that mature narrative and that type of a gameplay, you're going to absolutely dig into Beyond and love it, because it gets you back into a very kind of an M-rated storyline and a very deep game that's really going to really draw you in, I think, on how you play and what it is that the content matter is.
We're talking to Matt Levitan here on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, let's talk about some stuff that actually is here on the floor at E3. Probably the other game that really kind of gripped people was New God of War, God of War Ascension. If you played God of War 1, 2, and 3, by the end of 3, you know that the story kind of wraps up. So you guys are going back in time for this one.
We are. We made this new God of War game, a prequel of sorts. So you kind of get a chance to have some questions answered from the early stages of Kratos' life. Certainly through the games we've played, we know that he's done some awful things, murdering his own family and what have you. But you get a sense of understanding, where he, what brought him to that point, and what took him to that area, and when he fought Ares in God of War 1, what led him to those events, and this path of redemption that he's been on, what set it on its course to begin with. So I think that, we think we know everything that there is to know about the God of War franchise. This game will prove that there's a lot more to learn about Kratos and the character.
There's also two other prequel God of War games on the PSP. Does this game Ascension tie into those at all?
Well, it's all part of one kind of, ongoing storyline, if you will. I think Chain of Olympus, correct me if I'm wrong, was between 1 and 2 in the chronological time frame of these games. I'd have to go back and I played them all, but I can't remember where they all fit in. But certainly I think that if you were to look at, from a timeline perspective, I believe this one would have taken place even before God of War 1.
Excellent. One of the things that you guys have been touting, and we kind of got a good look at it yesterday when you announced that Nathan Drake and Big Daddy were part of it, is PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which looks, in a word, in a singular word, fun.
Yeah, that's about the best word I think I could use to describe it. I certainly had seen a ton of video and screenshots of this game, but I don't think I fully enjoyed it until I had a chance to get a controller in my hands and play it. I think that the proof is really in the sampling of this game, and you get that chance to choose any of the 8 characters that we've announced so far. I think my first time I played it, I obviously went for Kratos, but played it subsequent times as Sweet Tooth and Sly, and now we've announced Nathan Drake and Big Daddy. as characters. It is just so much fun to play, whether you're four people on a couch or four people across the country playing it online. It's fast, it's frenetic. The special attacks are awesome. They're like totally, you know, above, you know, the, what you'd ever expect from a fighting game. And it's just a blast to play, really, getting people together. It's a great party game.
Now, something I found really strange about your press conference was there wasn't as much Vita talk as I thought there was going to be. You guys do have a lot of stuff here. What do you have coming down the pipeline that we didn't see at the conference?
Good point. Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple people say that to me, and it's, you know, you try to condense everything as best you can. You got 90 minutes for a conference. It's not a ton of time. So we didn't show that much Vita stuff. What we did talk about on a Vita scale was a lot of the cross-play stuff. So, you know, PlayStation All-Stars has a Vita and a PS3 version. You can play either or, and they can compete against each other. Sly has a Vita version as well, and there's some cross-save elements with that. But, you know, the big news, certainly from a third-party point of view, is that we have a brand-new Assassin's game built from the ground up on Vita, and a really exciting Call of Duty game, Black Ops Declassification, which we didn't show much of yesterday, but I've seen in development and is looking really, really good. So, you know, we're excited about content at this point. Just bring out as many great games for Vita as we can, and really, I think that's going to, at this point, push people to buying a Vita if they haven't yet.
That's one thing that we were talking about when we taped our show last night after the conference, is that it seems like with Uncharted Golden Abyss and this new Assassins and then the Call of Duty, big AAA franchises, but specifically made for the Vita, is kind of what you guys are looking for to maybe drive it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that it was a mistake, but if, you know, one thing that we did on the original PSP that, you know, looking back, we probably shouldn't have done, was we had a lot of ports. We had a lot of PS2 ports. We pretty much just took the game, brought it over to PSP, and said, oh, it's a great game on PS2. People will buy it on PSP. And you know what? Given the option, you're probably going to want to play a game on your home console versus a handheld, because you're going to have a larger screen and you're going to be able to kind of, you know, you have that different experience. When we started building the Vita from the ground up, we said, well, let's try to make games specifically for, you know, being on the go, having touchscreen, having 3G. So you get a game like Uncharted Golden Abyss, which although still feels like a great Uncharted game, it takes advantage of all those things, and it's a completely different game. So it's not like we just took Uncharted 3 and said, hey, let's just shrink it down, put it on a 5-inch screen, and there you go. It's like, let's get a brand new game going. People have already played Uncharted 3, and they loved it. Let's give them a Vita experience as well. Same thing with Assassins and Call of Duty. These are brand new games built from the ground up, and that's why I think you really want to play them if you love the franchises.
Yeah, sadly, I haven't had a chance to play Golden Abyss yet, which I really want to. Talking to Matt Levitan of Sony Canada on GOG Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at E3.
Now, when we first heard the news about Little Big Planet karting, I've lost a number of people who sent us emails going, hey, do you know if our other Little Big Planet stuff would be able to go into Little Big Planet karting? So you would know more than anyone else here. Give us the answer, please.
Yes, it does. The good news is, yes, it does. Certainly, you know, we know that Little Big Planet karting is being made by our friends at United Front Games, great studio in Vancouver, right in Yale Town. But they are working on it in conjunction with Media Molecule. And Media Molecule certainly is, you know, they brought the Little Big Planet project to us. They're the geniuses behind the Sackboy character, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, when we were building this kart game, that it really had all those elements of what makes Little Big Planet so great, and, you know, all that great DLC that you've been downloading over the last couple of years, and all of that great community-based stuff that we have off the Little Big Planet 1 and 2 games. We want to make sure that that was compatible, so if there's costumes that you've downloaded, certainly not the level packs, because those are contingent to the platforming game, but a lot of the individual character stuff that you have that will apply to Little Big Planet karting.
And as we were walking around the booth today, as you're showing us all the games, we kind of found ourselves at the end at a place that I called Canada Corner, because you had, out of four games, three of them were Canadian. Papua New, I believe, Sound Shapes, Dyad. What can Canadians look forward to in the next couple of months that will be coming out made by fellow Canadians?
Yeah, you know, like, go Canada. I'm here, like, waving my flag also. There's, like, so much great content. It's amazing how we, you know, like, watching all the conferences yesterday, you see, like, Ubisoft Toronto logos and Ubisoft Montreal logos. And, you know, one of our big games for PSP or PS Vita coming out of Sound Shapes, which is actually made in Toronto by Jonathan Mack and the folks at Queasy Games. We have Papo Yo. I mean, there's just so many great games that are coming out over the next couple of years that are Canadian made, that it's, I think we can take great pride in the fact that, you know, we're making some of the industry's biggest and best games right now, and that's certainly very thrilling to me as a Canadian. There's a great industry for people if they want to get in this business that certainly can apply to a number of studios coast to coast.